To read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, observing the armies, text number 12. Tasya sanjayam harshan kuru vrita pitamaha singhanadam vinadyochai sankam dhamo pratapavan. Tasya, his, sanjayanayan, increasing, harsham, cheerfulness, Kuru Rida, the grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, Bhishma, Pitamaha, the grandfather, Singhanadam, roaring sound, like that of a lion. Vinadya, vibrating. Uchai, very loudly. Shankam, conch shell. Damo, blue. Patapavan, the Valiant. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Then Bhishma, the great valiant grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly, making a sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy. Purport. The grandsire of the Kuru dynasty could understand the inner meaning of the heart of his grandson, Duryodhana. And out of his natural compassion for him, he tried to cheer him by blowing his conch shell very loudly, befitting his position as a lion. Indirectly, by the symbolism of the conch shell, he informed his depressed grandson, Duryodhana, that he had no chance of victory in the battle, because the Supreme Lord Krishna was on the other side. But still it was his duty to conduct the fight, and no pains would be spared in that connection. So the text again. Tasya sanjayan harsham kuru rida pitamaha singhanadam vinadyochai sankam dhamo pratapavan. Then Bhishma, the great valiant grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly, making a sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy. We're on the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is probably one of the most difficult chapters to give a lecture on. And it's probably, if anyone can get through... We sell Bhagavad Gitas on the street and people pick it up and they hear Yudamana Sivikranta Utamoja Savirivan Purujik Kontivojascha Shaivischa Narapungavaha, and they put the book down and they say they told me this book was about something else. I don't even understand what this language is. So it's a challenge, the first chapter, setting the scenes. A lot of names, a lot of different subtle ideas of being about the Vedas. First of all, someone has to know what the Vedas are to understand what's going on. What to speak of the fact that there's something even superior to the Vedas. How can you know if there's something superior to the Vedas if you don't even know what the Vedas are? In any case, here at least there's one line that I could probably talk about. And that is that wherever Krishna is, the final verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Parato Dhanor Dara, Tatra Shir Vijayo Bhutira Dhruva Nitira Mitiramama. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystic power, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Parata Dhanuradhara. Wherever there is Arjuna, Parato, who is the holder of the Gandiva bow, Tatra, there will be Tatra Shir, beauty, Tatra Vijayo, victory, Bhutir, extraordinary opulence, and Nitir, morality. That's Sanjaya's opinion. Now, ultimately, Bhagavad Gita doesn't talk about victory in terms of simply winning a war. Because we have the example of Jatayu. He was certainly on Krishna's side, but apparently he lost. But then again, everyone loses in this material world. As Krishna says, Kalosmi loka shay krit prarido lokansa maharta mihaprabhitakri te pitam nabla vishanti sarve evasita pratnyu keshioda. Time I am, the destroyer of all the worlds, I have come here to kill everyone. So in one sense, everyone loses. Because everyone is, eventually we die. We have to leave this body. And if we think our victory is in killing someone else's body or gaining some advantage over someone else's body. But ultimately, we have to leave this body, so we lose everything anyhow. We may gain the whole world, or as Krishna says, neha bikra kramosti pratyamanayo nividite swapam apyasi dharmasya trayate mahatobayat neha bikramatamosti. I got one syllable wrong there at least. Neha bikramatamosti. Neha bikramanashosti. Pratyamayo navidyate swapam apyasi dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. Pratyavayo navidyate. So, on this path there's no loss of diminution, and even the smallest advancement can protect one from all kinds of problems. So actual victory is to get out of material energy, out of material consciousness. Our enemy, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what Arjuna says, that ataka keno priyukto yam papam charati purusha anicham napivarshneya baladiva niyojita. What is our actual enemy that's causing us all kinds of problems? Now we can look at each other and say, you're my enemy, you're causing me so much problems. Or we can look at people outside, you know, they're the demons are causing us all the problems. Or the government has snuck in and causing us problems. But according to Prahlad Maharaj, the only problem we have is the uncontrolled mind. And the mind, now the question is, what is control? Generally you think of control as the mind supposed to do whatever I tell it to do. Which is in one sense true, but we have to know what to tell the mind to do. So victory for the mind, Krishna says, is manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mamai vaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosi me. First of all, we gain a little foothold in victory when we think about Krishna. And we can only think about Krishna in our normal activities when we see things in relationship to Krishna. And we can only see things in relationship to Krishna when we stop trying to take Krishna's position and utilize Krishna's energies in Krishna's service. In other words, it's material nature means, or illusory energy means, is the tendency to look at the world as if it's a playground for me. And what can I play with here to make me happy? And the other way of looking at it, it's an opportunity to serve Krishna, and what energies do I have available to utilize in Krishna's service? When we look at the world like that, then the next thing is to find out what Krishna wants us to do. Because it's not enough to decide that we want to do something for Krishna, we should also find out what Krishna wants us to do. Then that requires some surrender, which is a subject matter itself. Surrender means, according to the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there are 6 stages of surrender. Accept everything favorable, give up everything unfavorable, believe that Krishna will maintain and protect us, to have no interest outside of Krishna's interest, and to always feel oneself meek and humble. Now, of course, we can just decide, I'm always going to feel meek and humble, and then we'll go around thinking, I'm so advanced, I'm always so meek and humble. We'll immediately get puffed up how meek and humble we are. And having no interest outside of Krishna's interest, we're probably not so much aware of what Krishna's interest is. We know something about it, but we're not necessarily always aware of what Krishna wants. As far as Krishna will maintain us, protect us, that's rather subtle, and that certainly we have to work on, rather than relying upon so many other factors for our maintenance and our protection. But the most obvious thing to work on is to accept things favorable, lay chant our rounds every day, come to the programs, hear and chant about Krishna, do favorable service, and give up material desires. Some of the desires are the desire for profit, proper adoration, the desire for distinction, the dhanam, the janamna sindarim, kavitam vajigadisha, kamaya. To see when we become envious of others, why do they get more prasadam than I did? Why did someone say something nice about them? Why do people like them more than I do? Maybe I should go around gossip about them, and so that people realize who they really are. So they're all products of envy. So we're envious of the small little tiny jiva souls in this world. What's going to happen when we get to the spiritual world and find an unlimitedly opulent person who everyone adores? So what will happen? We'll wind up here in the material world. That's how it all happened. And why do we stay here? Because we're not eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Because we can't even avoid being envious of someone insignificant compared to Krishna. So it would not be, if we want to come to the platform of worshiping Krishna, we have to think about Krishna, but in a favorable way. Manmana, bhava, madbhakto. Bhava, of course, is feeling. So always think of me, become my devotee. So we have to feel positively towards Krishna and Krishna's devotees. We have to practice with Krishna's devotees, because if we don't feel enthusiastic in the presence of Krishna's devotees, how are we going to feel in the Krishna's presence? Madhyaji, and then worship. In other words, if we're actually feeling good about Krishna and his devotees, then our activities will be done as a matter of worship. We'll not only be conscious of Krishna by thinking about him, but we'll also be favorable. So these things are described in many parts of the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham, we're hearing these classes, but why are we hearing the class? So we can learn how to sit up straight and do Sukhasana or Siddhasana or Padmasana. No, we're doing it so we can tesham saratam yukta Taye Tesham Sadatam Yuktanam Vajantam Priti Purvakam Didami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upiyanti Te Tesham Sadatam Yuktanam. So we can become connected with Krishna. So how are we connecting ourselves with Krishna? So Manmana. If we're not thinking about Krishna, how can we be connected with Krishna? If I'm looking around and I'm seeing, you know, men and women and Slovenians and Croatians, and where's Krishna? So we're connected with Krishna when we see everyone. Oh, we're more connected with Krishna the more we see things in relationship to Krishna. So this is not just our imagination. It's the reality. The reality is our vision is just conditioned. Even the scientists say that, according to the scientists, 99% of the material energy is just space. Because that's their speculation. I don't know if it's 90, what they're talking about. But anyhow, that's what they say. And besides that, and 1,000 years from now, believe it or not, I predict there won't be anyone from Slovenia, because probably Slovenia won't even exist. Probably 1,000 years ago it didn't exist. It's not going to exist in 1,000 years from now. It's just a concoction. And besides that, we won't even be in this body. The labeling of this body as a Slovenian or Croatian or American, whatever, or male or female. Of course, there is something like that. But our conception of it, that it's us, is wrong. Of course, there are male and female bodies, and they work slightly different, but they're creations of Krishna, and they work under Krishna's energies. So to see Krishna, that means that we have to think about him. Or if we're seeing him, then we should be thinking about him. And then, so that's tesham sadatam yuktanam, be connected with Krishna. And why don't we think about him? Because we look around and we think about what could be mine, or what is mine. And then Maya takes our mind away from Krishna. And then we don't think about Krishna, we think about something else, which we think is perfectly normal. As a matter of fact, in Kali Yuga, people are spending billions of dollars to create illusions so that people can agitate their minds even more than they're already agitated. People actually take pleasure out of agitating their minds and going to watch some movie where people are completely in Maya, and they're just getting more in Maya. The more in ignorance they are, the more successful the movie is. The more people die in the movie, the more they're taking alcohol, intoxication, having illicit sex, and gambling, then the more popular the movie is. So even Snow White in the movies nowadays is going to a discotheque. Otherwise, even the children won't go and see it. It's too old-fashioned. So the more people agitate the minds, the more they think they're making progress towards hell. And that's where they want to go. But that means we're simply taking the mind away from Krishna. But to bring it back to Krishna requires some austerity and penance and surrender and whatever. And that's what we're hearing about. Not simply to fast and suffer or come to class and hear that we're dogs and hogs and camels and ass and walk away depressed. I'm such a dog. No, it's actually so that we can think about Krishna. That's the whole point of the class. That's our victory over the illusory energy, that we're actually seeing things more in relation to Krishna. And then bhava, priti purvakam, that we're actually getting some positive feelings towards Krishna. He's a nice person. He's not like God just lording it over everyone, he's not the cause of the big mess in Kali Yuga. Why are these little children suffering? Why are they bombing people in Syria? God is so cruel, he doesn't do anything about it. He just stands on the altar with his arms up raised and smile. While all this misery is going on. People are suffering in this world, and what's your solution? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So this is inconceivable to people, but if we actually think about Krishna, then we can understand that Krishna is actually, to think about Krishna with feeling means that we'll actually experience Krishna's feelings and we'll become ecstatic. And all our misgivings will go away. So bhava, priti purvakam, with some feeling. So for us, feeling may be that we simply give up our illusory attachment to feeling miserable. Our minds will tell us so many reasons why we should feel miserable, and that's all traced back to the fact that we're not thinking about Krishna. We're not seeing in relationship to Krishna. We've accepted some other idea about what's reality, and therefore we're getting depressed by it. These things are just products of following someone else's imagination and accepting them as an authority, rather than seeing things in relation to Krishna. But when we see things in relation to Krishna, then Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, then the whole world becomes joyful, and we can feel joyful also. We don't have to feel depressed. You don't get any special merit in this world by simply walking around depressed. I'm a dog, and we're all cats and dogs, and Kali Yuga, and it's all bad, and it's getting worse, and I don't deserve to be happy, so I've done so many bad things, I should be depressed. So these are all products of the illusory energy. These are all material conceptions. We should allow ourselves to be happy and joyful in Krishna consciousness. That's called bhava. Have some joyful feeling, because without the joyful feeling, we don't fit into the realm of the spiritual realm. It's not that we're going to become Krishna conscious in a state of depression. Here comes Krishna. Oh, I feel worse. Would you like to dance with Krishna? No, I'm depressed. No, without being joyful, we can't actually enter into the spiritual realm of experience. We're saying chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Of course, be happy is easier said than done to be happy. It requires also a vision of why we should be happy. That's why Krishna starts with, we're not this body. Anyone who misidentifies themselves with their gross or their subtle material bodies can never be happy, according to Bhagavad Gita. Because this body is not a happy place to be. It may be relatively less stressful and less miserable, but it can never be happy. Happiness can't be found in the material concept of life. It can only be happy when we accept that we're eternal souls, and that if we see things in relation to Krishna, we remember Krishna, then we can experience our spiritual identity, our spiritual experience. We can experience ourselves as a spiritual being. Without remembering Krishna, then we're in darkness, according to Bhagavad Gita. Gyanena tu tad agyanam yesha nashitam atmanaha tesham adityavaj gyanam prakashyati tad param. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So without Krishna being there, if we try to be happy, we're just wasting our time. We may relatively smile. Sometimes people, they smile all the time. You never know what they're really thinking when they're smiling, though. They're probably thinking they're happy to see everyone else unhappy. Or I'm happier than you. But actually happiness comes when we become conscious of Krishna. So first we have to think about Krishna. Then we can, when we're more conscious of Krishna, when we're doing things to please Krishna, then we can actually feel Krishna's presence, and that will actually make us happy. We can't be happy unless we try and make Krishna happy. That's our philosophy. Trying to become happy without making Krishna happy is just illusory happiness. Itatura mula nisheshnena triptyanti tatskanda bujopushaka pranaharatscha yatendriyanam tataiva sarvahanam atiteja. If you water the root of the tree, then the water can go to the leaves and branches. So, if we do the right things, try to serve Krishna, we'll think about him. And if we think about him to try to make him happy, then we'll become happy. The only happiness Krishna experiences from us is that we're trying to make him happy. And then he becomes happy because we're trying to make him happy. And because we're trying to make him happy, he becomes happy, and that makes us happy. Any other attempt to become happy is just a waste of time. So that's called bhava. And then madhyaji. Then we'll come past the stage where we're just trying to become happy and think about Krishna. We'll actually see how worshipful Krishna is, how he's so unlimitedly nice, that he's just, his unlimited niceness means that in the spiritual world, people love Krishna millions of times more than they love themselves because he's more worshipable than anything. Then we'll actually worship Krishna. So that's the platform we're trying to come to, is try to worship Krishna, and we can get to it by trying to do what's necessary to serve Krishna. And then we'll, if we hear how everything is related to Krishna, the sunlight comes from Krishna, the digestion comes from Krishna, our remembrance comes from Krishna, the whole material energy comes from Krishna, we try to utilize in Krishna's service, then the result is that we'll actually think about Krishna. We'll see things in relation to Krishna. And the result of that, then when we understand things properly, that we should serve Krishna and try to please him, then we'll develop that trying to please Krishna is called bhava. And we'll experience Krishna's happiness, and then our happiness will actually increase. And then we'll see how wonderful Krishna is. It'll be revealed to us, and we'll actually worship him because he's worshipable. And namaskaru. Then finally we'll actually surrender to Krishna completely. We'll sincerely offer our respects to Krishna because he's the most worshipable. So that's our victory. Whether we gain anything in this material world or whether we lose everything is not really our victory or our defeat. Because ultimately, if you don't have anything, you have nothing to lose. We can't gain anything in the material world, nor can we actually lose. If you go to the movie and the hero becomes a billionaire, you haven't gained anything. And if he becomes a poverty-stricken beggar, you haven't lost anything. So we're watching this multi-dimension movie called our material existence, our virtual reality, identifying her with our hero called our material body, or our subtle mind and intelligence, thinking that this is a hero of some kind of drama we've created, mentally created, that no one else knows about or even cares about. And we're watching the whole thing, thinking, now I'm becoming victorious, now I'm becoming defeated. But actually, usually, if we're in Krishna consciousness, there's only gain. And if we're not in Krishna consciousness, we're just wasting our time. There's only loss. So here, Bhishmadeva is blowing his conch shell. Duryodhana is going to lose the war. But whether he won the war, he wouldn't have won anything anyhow, because he would have been dead by now. We've been reading this, hearing about how he won the war, but he's dead. So what? He won the war. Big deal. And he died in the war, but then we find out in the Mahabharata he wound up in the heavenly planets. So did he really lose? Because I don't know how he got there, but somehow or another. So he didn't really lose. If you were kicked out of Slovenia and you wound up in Hawaii in a mansion, you wouldn't complain. Oh, Slovenia, I love Slovenia. Can't stand this mansion. I got too many servants in the swimming pool. No, you probably wouldn't complain. So anyhow, he apparently got defeated, but he wound up in heaven. So this victory and defeat, ultimately, Krishna doesn't tell us to think about it in that way. Sukha dukhe sme kritva labha labho jaya jayo tato yudai yudrasva naiva papa vapsasi. Do that fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness and distress, victory, defeat, honor and dishonor, and by doing so you'll become free from all sin. So Krishna, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, he's saying, do your activity, do your service, but don't be attached to the fruits of action. So that includes victory and defeat, or loss or gain, or happiness and distress. So our first business is to find out what Krishna wants us to do, and then do it to please him. And then we'll see things in relation to Krishna. And when we get accustomed to seeing things in relation to Krishna, and see that Krishna is actually moving things in a very nice way, he's a good person, we'll try to please him. Then our emotions will set in relation to Krishna. And then we'll actually, the more our emotions get set in, the more Krishna reveals himself to us on that emotional side, and we'll see how wonderful a person Krishna is, and we'll worship him. And after worshiping Krishna, we'll see more and more will be revealed to us, and then we'll see that Krishna is millions of times more worshipable than we are, and then we'll actually surrender to him completely, without any reservation. And then our lives are perfect. Then we've actually won. Everything else is, if we're not on that path, we're simply being defeated by the illusory energy. What's that famous verse? Yes. Paravastavada bodha jato yavana jignasitatma tatvam yavankriyastavada idamano vai karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. One is said to be defeated by paravastavada bodha jato, by ignorance. As long as one does not inquire about the absolute truth. Because as long as one is not inquiring about atma tattva, then the consciousness is cloudy, or the mind is cloudy. And as long as the mind is cloudy, then the consciousness is unclear. And as long as the consciousness is unclear, then one has to take one body after another. Evamana karma prasamprayungte avidyaman upadiyamane yavan pritirna yavan maivasideva nimuchinte deha yogena tadvat. So as long as one is filled with these upadis, I am this and I am that, and I'm gaining, I'm losing, there's so many different conceptions, then one is, well, actually what is one? That pritirna, one is said to be, one is covered by karmic reactions. Evam prasam karma prasam prayukte avidya, by ignorance. One is covered with ignorance. Pritirna yavan mayavasudeva. As long as one doesn't try to develop priti, affection, feeling, worshipping Krishna, then the mind will remain attached to material experience, and one will have to take one body after another, uselessly. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Everyone's become so peaceful. Keep on breathing, though. Any questions, comments? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.